Well, good morning. A cup of cold water. As Alison said, the theme for our service today is just that, a cup of cold water. And that's the verse that I particularly want to focus on from that reading that we've just heard from Matthew's Gospel. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is known to be my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded. We probably wouldn't attach a great deal of significance to giving someone a cup of cold water, would we? But in today's reading, Jesus puts great emphasis on this small act. And over the next few minutes, I'd like us to look together at why that might be. If I can encourage you to have your Bibles open at page 923, you may well want to follow, because although the reading today is quite short, only three verses at the very end of the chapter, it comes at the end of a much longer passage, and the context is actually really significant, so it may help to be able to see that. Page 923. And if you look first at the previous page, at the heading of chapter 10, you'll see it's entitled, Jesus Sends Out the Twelve. These are some of the readings we've had over the past couple of weeks. This comes after Matthew has described much of the work that Jesus himself has been doing. Just flip the page back at chapter 9 and look at some of the section headings. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. Jesus heals the blind and the mute. And at the end of chapter 9, Jesus gathers his disciples together and points out that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he sends out the 12. This is what chapter 10 is all about. Jesus sending out his 12 apostles to proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near, giving them the authority to do the things he does, telling them how they should go, where they should go, and also warning them of the reaction that they will very often get. And if you remember, we looked at that last week with Phil. He reminded us and pointed out that Jesus told the disciples not to be afraid, despite the fact that they could expect to face hardship, suffering. He said they'll be handed over to local councils, flogged in the synagogues. They would be persecuted, that even families would be divided and set against one another. Brother would betray brother to death. This is a dangerous mission field he's sending his disciples out into. It's pretty dramatic stuff. You have only to skim read, just look through chapter 10 to see that. He's talking about heaven and earth. He's talking about the fact he hasn't come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. Lives will be lost. Bringing about the kingdom is going to be something that involves drama on quite an epic scale. But it's not just about the drama. For as this chapter closes, we come to our reading for today. Jesus has some very simple, calm, and measured words. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes someone known to be a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes someone known to be righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones who are known to be my disciples, truly I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded. It's worth hearing those words again. Because to get in on this grand kingdom epic, to be a part of it, we don't have to be the disciples, we just have to welcome disciples. Jesus promises anyone who welcomes his disciple welcomes him. Anyone who welcomes him welcomes God. But it gets better. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the same reward as the prophet does. So the poor widow of Zarephath who gave food and lodging to Elijah received the same reward as the prophet Elijah, who stood up to 450 prophets of Baal, among many, many other things. Jesus talks about her, that widow, in Luke chapter 4. This lowly widow gets a prophet's reward for welcoming a prophet. In other words, Her obedience to God is every bit as significant and important as Elijah's obedience to God. Same thing happens when we welcome a righteous person. We will receive the same reward as that righteous person because we're being used by God in the same way. So in other words, it's not all about the drama. We can often mistakenly think, can't we, that unless we're doing something big, something grand, something great, that God isn't going to honour that as much, that he won't be as pleased with us. But maybe Jesus wants us to rethink that. Of course, some people will continue to do great, dramatic, world-changing things, but not everybody. This last instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples in this passage was for the rest of us. If anyone gives even a cup of water to one of my disciples, and that is where the rest of us come in. Most of us haven't healed the sick, raised the dead, or exorcised demons. But all of us have seen people that we know are doing great things for God. All of us have had the chance to offer a welcome, to offer hospitality, to help others. You see, Jesus doesn't discriminate between acts of Christian kindness. Jesus isn't more pleased with the CEO of some international charity than he is with the person who cooks a meal for the winter night shelter or the dealing with depression course. You don't have to save the world to get Jesus' attention. Simple acts of Christian love on any scale cause rejoicing in heaven. All of us know that a good cup of cold water tastes really, really good on a hot, dusty day. And all of us can do that. We can all give a cup of cold water to someone who needs one. The cup of water that you give might be a hug and a shoulder to cry on in the waiting room of a hospital. It might be volunteering at the drop-in. Your cup of cold water might be buying a sandwich for the man who's sleeping rough in a doorway near East Croydon Station. It could be any one of a million other acts of love that sometimes no one else but God sees. Because no act of love is so small that God doesn't see it. And there are also cups of water that are of supreme importance, eternal importance. When you share the gospel with an unbeliever, when you tell a friend the difference your faith has made to your life, you're offering a cup of water of eternal value. This isn't just tap water that restores the body, that refreshes the body. It's a spring of living water that wells up in the soul. What a wonderful cup of water to be able to offer anyone. And I think sometimes we forget just how beautifully simple New Testament Christianity is. At the heart of the gospel is a simple moral mandate: kindness. Loving, unconditional kindness. A cup of cold water for the thirsty, food for the hungry, clothing for the naked. Simple, humble, Christ-like caring. And so many, many times over every week, we have opportunities to offer a cup of cold water to somebody who is desperately thirsty. Sometimes the gesture is so small that you hardly notice it, even yourself. It could be the warmth with which you welcome somebody that you've never seen before who sits in one of the pews here on a Sunday. It could be the kindness with which you respond to an elderly checkout assistant in a supermarket who is so agonizingly slow that she's holding the entire queue up. How you respond to her could actually be that cup of cold water. Gestures so small you can barely see them, but God sees them and God remembers. Jesus tells us that himself later in Matthew's gospel when he tells his disciples that there will come a day when the saints will stand before him in glory and he will tell them, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Do you see? They couldn't even remember it. It seemed so insignificant at the time, but Jesus remembers it. And look at why. The next verse says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. Simple, humble, Christ-like caring. A simple cup of cold water. And that, I think, is why this is such a tremendously exciting and encouraging passage that we heard read this morning. Because it speaks not only to the people who do the big things, but the people who think that actually they're not really worth as much in the kingdom of Jesus Christ because they're not great preachers or evangelists or missionaries. It speaks to those who don't have any sense of value because they're not in some kind of spotlight ministry. It speaks to all of us. Look again at those three verses we heard read this morning. Jesus is saying, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes someone known to be a prophet, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water, anyone. This message is for every single one of us, whoever we are. We can, every one of us, offer a welcome, offer a cup of water. But Jesus is very specific, isn't he? He doesn't talk about just offering a cup of water. He talks about offering a cup of cold water. And I think that's really significant. Water at any temperature will satisfy your thirst. But the gift of cold water gives that little bit extra. And it's the extra that actually touches people, that touches the heart. And I think that would have come over very clearly to Jesus' listeners. A cup of cold water in Jesus' day was a rarity. They didn't have the endless source of water we have running from our taps. They didn't have ice in the freezer. Early every morning, women went to the well. They draw water for the day, drawing it up from deep, deep at the bottom of a well. And that water, as it came up, would be clear and cool. But after a very short time in the hot Palestinian sun, the water would become remarkably warm. So you might offer your dinner guest water, but it probably wouldn't be cold water. To offer cold water to a guest, you would have to actually go to some extra effort. Somebody in the house would probably have to run from the table to the well, draw some fresh water from the well, run home and hurry to offer that fresh, cool water to their guests quickly before it had time to warm up. In Jesus' time, a glass of cold water was indeed a sign of great hospitality because it took a bit of effort. Our cups of cold water, our acts of service should be the same. Even the small things can be done with a little bit of effort, the result being that they probably won't feel small at all to the person who's on the receiving end of them. When we serve others out of Christian love, we must offer up our best. Give an extra smile to somebody. Take those few extra minutes on the phone to listen to a friend moan about the rough day that they've had because actually they just need to talk about it. Even the small things can be done well and with love. The water must be cold. And people will see then that you're giving not as the world gives. They will see that what they've received is actually a product of Christ's love. What an amazing opportunity we have to share the love of God with other people, to proclaim by our actions, by the way we live our lives, that the kingdom of heaven has come near, to offer a welcome, hospitality, a simple act of kindness. We may not always receive a positive response when we do take the risk of reaching out, but I think that when we do, we are surprised at just how often it makes a real, real difference to people. And if we're ever tempted to think that our offerings are small or insignificant, remember Jesus' promise. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this promise. We thank you that when we have the opportunity to reach out in love and in kindness to others, that it is your love that they receive. We thank you that the work you do, bringing about your kingdom in our world, is something that we can join in with, that we can play our part in, that not one of us is too ordinary, too insignificant, too small to play our part in bringing about the kingdom of heaven. Prompt us, Lord, over the next day, week, months, to see those opportunities, to see the times when we can do something tiny, something insignificant, that is kind, that is loving, that is of you. And help us to take those opportunities every time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.